Welcome to the King's Road podcast. I'm your host, Justin Yance, and I'm here with my host,
City Scent. What's up?
And we are going to be talking about some of the news that just broke about Bray Wyatt. We're going to talk about the Jon Moxley interview with Dave Meltzer, and we're going to talk about Rampage. So enjoy. And here we go. Bray Wyatt is free. He can do whatever he wants now. He's not beholden to WWE for anything. And it looks like he wants to be in horror movies or do something in that world of movies. What do you think about that?
I mean, I saw the images of him being in the Warner Brothers lot. I think it's interesting is Warner Brothers, who has a deal with AEW. So, I mean, obviously that's a link.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's a good point. Yeah. Well, like, it also says he has flat out rejected the Impact offer. So,
man, look, bro, I'm sorry, but if you care about your career, why the fuck would you sign to TNA? Really? Like, why would you do that to yourself? Do you even care about your career?
Exactly.
Look at Kurt Angle. There was at one point where he was like mentioned in the breath with like Shawn Michaels and Chris Benoit back before Chris Benoit became a murderer, and Bret Hart, and then he went to TNA, and it was like he stopped wrestling.
he basically, with Angle, he said that like he left TNA as soon as the money was drying up. You know, so you're right. I mean, it was such a step down Angle, but at the time it was meant as a big deal, but no, I don't ever want to see why.
I beg to differ. I feel after the Kurt Angle Samoa Joe thing, after the first 2 months, I was over it.
They didn't know what else to do with him.
Literally,
and then they had him in goofy comedy.
He should have left the second he beat Samoa Joe the second time. And take a year off and go back to WWE, and his legacy would be cemented way better.
The problem was two things happened at that time when he came in. They hired Vince Russo back, and he had no idea what to do with this super wrestler,
bro.
And they just what,
bro?
No,
Vince Russo is not that bad. I will not stand for the Vince Russo slander.
All right. He's the one who put Angle in comedy skits after that thing. And he brought in his wife, which was stupid. I did not like it when Angle brought in his wife. It made him into a gimmick. You know,
he put Mick Foley in comedy angles. And I'm pretty positive people at the time were like, are you going to really put Mick Foley in comedy? And they thought it was stupid. And then it ended up working out perfectly.
Okay, but then they did comedy angles in TNA with Mick Foley, where he was the champion.
Because that's
he was
TNA. Driving around, everything.
And he was driving
TNA.
Around in a shitty car.
The simple fact that you're in TNA, it changes the dynamic completely.
They put their world title.
You could take Stone Cold Steve Austin and put him in TNA, and it would be like he went to become Stunning Steve Austin again. That's what TNA does. It turns greatness and turns it into
enough about TNA. Who gives a shit about TNA? Apparently, though, some people are now letting out news about how Bray Wyatt was to work with, and they're saying that if you were running a $1 million company and you were getting paid all this money, and then they said this, and you were flagged for a medical reason, you wouldn't be acting like this and expect to keep your job. So I don't know, maybe he did have a medical reason and they never let that out, whatever it was. But it's an interesting dynamic, because I mean, we talked about it, you know, top stars want some level of control with their work. They're not just going to go out there and say, I'll just read script.
Listen to the language used and what you just said. It seems like whoever said that was probably a jobber, right? who was never a main event guy and was mad that a main event guy's complaining about his position.
Let's be honest. It's probably Bruce Pritchard.
Look, this is a pattern, right?
Yeah.
Anytime Moxley? A top guy questions anything creative does for them or questions the company in any way, they're difficult. It happened with Punk. It happened with Bret Hart back in the 90s. People used to say Bret Hart was difficult all the time. You know, Shawn was actually difficult. Austin, they used to say Austin was difficult all the time, right?
Yeah.
CM but that's Punk, care. Difficult. Moxley, difficult. And then they go to AEW, and you don't hear a peep about them being difficult. You know why? Because the booker actually talks to them, has a conversation, and it's a back and forth conversation of what they're gonna do. The problem with WWE is they talk to you, at you, says you're gonna do this, and if you say anything but yes sir, you're being difficult.
Yeah. And then after, if you do disobey them, they continue to remind you like 6 or 8 times till you want to kill yourself. I mean, they really are that. I mean, look,
remember, you got a glimpse of that. Look strong.
Exactly. That, and they said that to him probably 20 times. It's just like, you know, I love what Punk says. He's just like, no, I'm going to just beat him and I'm going to make him look really bad. You know, and then he said, you know what would really make him look strong? If he won. And they're like, yeah, but Vince wants you to go over.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
It's like he's offering to put over Reigns. And they're like, no, we don't want that.
That's not what we want.
We want him to look strong.
We like you. Who told you we don't like you? We like you. We want you to win. But we like this guy.
That's what he told them. Like, he wanted to, you know, he wanted that day off for a wedding. And they're like, oh, well, we still need you or whatever. He's like, okay, I'm wrestling first on the show. And you're chartering a jet to the place. I mean, they just, one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with WWE is it's just a lack of direction.
How is one hand supposed to know what the other hand is doing when the hand itself doesn't know what it's doing?
When the hand changes his mind 15 times.
Like, how is somebody supposed to know shit in that way?
Well, we've got this book, but Vince just threw out the script. So we're not doing that feud.
The whole narrative that Bray Wyatt is difficult.
No, I don't either. Everyone liked him. Even Seth Rollins says he was sad when Bray Wyatt left, and he's like the biggest, you know, do whatever.
And he always had a reputation as a locker room leader, and now all of a sudden he wasn't.
Yeah,
that makes no sense. Whatever.
It's just because he probably was like, Vince, this doesn't make sense, and this is stupid.
Yeah,
and like, oh my God, you're being difficult. I mean, I mentioned this before, but I mean, Drew McIntyre got in trouble because he asked too many questions. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how do you get in trouble for that? That shows he cares.
That's insulting. How dare you ask me a question?
How dare you ask questions? Zoe Saldana would like never work in WWE because that's all Batista said she would do on Marvel sets is be like, she asked like a million questions. She worked for Vince, he'd be like, I can't take it. That's too many questions. Just do what I say. Oh, man. I don't know. I'm just glad he's free and clear. When do you think we see him in AEW?
Full Gear.
You think it's Full Gear?
Yeah.
How would you have him come out on Full Gear?
I have no idea. I won't say shit.
I wouldn't have him come out as we said with the Hangman Page if he wins the title. Just get.
I mean, I definitely think, look, if I was doing it,
yeah,
it would be after the match, and set him up immediately as the next number one contender. That's what
for what's his name, Hangman.
Whoever it is. Maybe not in a TV match, but, you know, you set it up there and then you could start working that angle for February. you know.
Yeah. Do you think he's really going to go by Wyndham?
I hope not, but.
Or do you think he's going to have like three different characters and be like, this is Wyndham, this is Fiend 2.
Hey, man, if anybody could get it over, it would be him.
Yeah. He really could.
Yeah.
It's really, I don't know. All right. So that's really all I got to say about that. You got anything else to say?
No. Next.
All right. So let us talk about the Moxley interview with Dave Meltzer. You listened to it.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was great.
I did hear the very beginning where he was just like, you know, I could tell you how I really feel, but you know, I mean, I could just tell you everything's going great, but you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, everything fucking sucks right now. I love that about him. He doesn't come into an interview with like bullshit, you know, like you could see him on like, you know, like he'd be like the Tonight Show. He's like, well, I could tell you that this movie's really good, but let me tell you, I think it sucks. And I think this show sucks. You know, like I could see Moxley doing that. Like nobody else does that. There's something so authentic about the way he is. What did he say? That was give me some points.
Like the weirdness to his interviews. There is a level of realness to his promos and everything he does that I like. He was basically, you know, talking about how when he first, if he would have done that angle and feud with Mick Foley to start his career in WWE, he would have been buried, because the second they told them, okay, here's a script, in the beginning, you know, it would have been the death for him. Because at least when he started talking about it, he was already a part of the Shield. So yeah, you couldn't really do much.
Although, if he did do it with Foley, I think there would have been a level of protection that he wouldn't have had with a... No, you don't think so? No. You think he would have just been buried?
No. How many people have Mick Foley liked and tried to protect and it never worked?
I mean, but Foley gets... He gets a lot of carte blanche. You look at that Orton feud.
Justin. Justin.
Okay.
Look at Karrion Kross and Keith Lee. What can Mick Foley do that Triple
H? I'm not talking but that's not, I'm talking about if they actually hit.
But listen to what I'm saying. The thought of any guy outside of The Rock that can actually protect them from Vince is laughable. It's
not talking about protect him from Vince. I'm saying that he might have. You're talking about two different things. One is an actual angle that he'd be doing.
No, I'm talking about in every sense. He is saying, this is what Moxley is saying, that the second they give him a script, that he was going to react so bad to it that it would have derailed his career.
All right, that's a good point. Yeah.
Nothing Foley was going to say.
You brought up a great point. Yeah,
you remember like within, I don't know, 4 months of the Shield that he was in the doghouse. Imagine if he wasn't in the Shield.
Doghouse
would have been FEW, whatever the hell it was called.
Was he was in the doghouse?
Yeah, in the doghouse when he was United States champion and never defended it.
Yeah, I do. I vaguely remember that. Yeah, I just remember his first interview with
him,
the
and
Shield.
Rollins were both in the doghouse,
and they asked him a question, and he goes, "Nope," and the way he did it was so great. Nope, like we don't care. I mean, that's what I think got them over. All right, so
he mouthpiece, and initially he looked like he was the leader.
Yeah,
initially. You know, he was always in the center. He always cut the promos. He always started. You know, then, you know, they slowly moved it to Reigns.
Does he talk a little bit about, I wonder if he talks about that?
He doesn't talk about the Shield at all in the interview.
Okay. What does he say about WWE in there? Because I'm sure he talked about it.
he really didn't talk that much about WWE. Most of the things he talked about were either about that Foley segment, never doing another scripted promo in his life, and talking about deciding to work with AEW and how the decision wasn't easy, and you know, about that whole process and why he decided to work for GCW.
What did he say? Why did he?
Because I like doing it.
That's it. Okay. Did he talk at all a little bit about like his newfound style that he's doing or no?
Yeah. Okay. So he liked doing it, and because he wanted to feel like he's helping the independents. That was also
No. I'm talking about his new style of
I'm getting to that after this. Oh, okay. I was answering your previous question.
Okay.
And as well as what were you talking about? We'll edit this out.
I asked you, did he talk at all about John Moxley's new style that he just started doing, where he just comes in and kills people? I'm sorry, that's a banned word in WWE.
Yes.
We don't say
kill. He says that there's a design, there's a reason he's doing it now, that there's a story to it. I'm not going to, you know, spoil it, but there's a reason to what I'm doing now. And he, like, it's so hilarious because, like, you could tell he gets in the mood as he's talking about it, like, yeah, I want to fuck that motherfucker up. Like I was dying laughter.
Did he talk at all about, you know, going back to New Japan? Is he looking at that?
No, they didn't talk about that.
Okay.
It was mainly about the book. And the fact is, there's no point in talking about Japan. As long as the pandemic is going, Japan ain't happening. For nobody in AEW.
That's a good point.
You know, it is what it is. If there was no pandemic, all those guys would be there already. And we know that. Like, all of them would be there. Like, we would have the forbidden door super open. You know, like.
All right. So let's. Do you have anything else? Any other notes about the Moxley interview?
I found it interesting how he was talking about the Suzuki match and how he's really good friends with Suzuki and he considers him like his best friend over there. But before they had their feud, he was talking himself up like, this motherfucker, this King of Pancreas motherfucker thinks I'm soft because I'm from WWE. And I'm
so he did like a Michael Jordan type thing.
Huh?
Where he's invented, so he's like he did like a Michael Jordan type.
Yeah, he invented a narrative, and he
invented a narrative that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and he talked about in the G1. He also did that where he was making this narrative in his head that
He came out, he looked like he was pissed, and I feel like that's what he needs to do.
And the narrative is probably what a lot of people were thinking. I don't think they were thinking it. I don't think wrestlers think like that, but I definitely think fans were thinking that way. And he was thinking, oh man, they think this soft ass WWE guy is gonna come here and have shitty matches and have soft matches. And he went in and I mean, it was great. It was really great. Well, I don't think he's got to do another G1 again, but I think it was great when he did it.
I look forward to seeing him destroy Orange Cassidy.
Oh yeah, freshly, that's gonna be
freshly awesome. Squeezed.
Like, does anybody like even that? It's not just gonna be it's gonna be a squash. Like it has to be a squash.
Needs to be the only match that he doesn't need to have a squash with.
Of course,
is Danielson.
Of course.
And that's where. All right. So let's move. All right. So let's move on to Rampage. Anything else?
No.
All right. So let's talk about Rampage. So Danielson versus Kingston match. I like this match. I don't agree with whoever said that this was better than Minoru Suzuki or Omega. Moxley, I don't think it's in that realm.
Moxley, during the interview, was going insane over the match, saying that it's the greatest match he's ever seen. He thinks Danielson is the greatest wrestler of all time.
Well, that's going to be great because he's going to want to go in and...
that he was being biased because... Yeah. His best friend and the guy who he views as the greatest of all time were wrestling in the same match.
So, you know what he said?
So apparently they hyped themselves up, like each other up before their matches. And he went up to Kingston and Gorilla and like got on his head and like headbutted him and said, "You go fuck this vegan ass motherfucker right now."
Why he looked so angry?
It was great. Like,
I like that. That's
what I love seeing. That. I love that's that.
What's missing in wrestling that seriousness of like, I take this fucking dead serious. This is not a fucking skit I'm doing.
Yeah, it's like what Meltzer was talking about.
I will murder you.
Of what it felt when Moxley went into the ring. He was in Terry Funk mode, Stone Cold mode,
and where that's what it looked they need
real
to
in the eyes. It looked real.
And you know who needs to learn that again? Is Punk. I don't feel like Punk comes out to the ring where he wants to kill somebody. He comes to the ring like, hey, let's have a nice match.
I think he does have that, but
he does have, but it's, I'm not
showed
seeing it.
He showed it with Darby Allin. Like, yeah, I felt his promos before the Darby match and everything he did in that match showed that he was, like, in it to win it and serious. But it's hard to act like that against Daniel Garcia, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Bobby fucking Fish. It's impossible.
Escargo.
It's like, am I supposed to take Gilbert as a serious opponent?
No.
I
don't know. I know, but that's why I'm like.
How much you want to bet Eddie Kingston is going to bring it out of him?
That better me. I want the angry Punk that will come out and he would be like, "Sir, you paid your ticket to boo, but let me just tell you, if you cross that rope, I will render you within an inch of your life."
I think Eddie Kingston is one of the opponents where we were talking about and we mentioned it that can excite us for a Punk match. Eddie Kingston, especially because of his style. There is no way Punk is going to cut these cookie cutter promos with Eddie Kingston. You can't. Because you're not going to be a babyface.
So we're going to get to that. Yeah, we're jumping ahead here.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about that interview. So where do you rank it? I rank it.
I think it's a third
best.
Would
go Omega.
It's the third.
Suzuki and Omega, I go back and forth on which one is better.
It doesn't matter. It's third. It's behind those two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But that's not like an insult.
No.
Are
you think
the best,
it's better? Like, do you think it's better than the Bucks match that they had? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the third best match I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Because if you tell me what I think the greatest matches of this year have been, all of them have Danielson.
He better be in the running for Wrestler of the Year. He might not have the belt, but.
No, he has to be. He has to be.
Nobody else is. One, he was in WrestleMania. He's in the best match at the Grand Slam. He's been in all the big shows.
He's literally been in all the biggest shows of the year.
Gave Reigns his best match this year.
The only guy you can say main evented a pay-per-view for the WWE title against Roman and Kenny Omega in the same year.
Yeah, I agree. I like the finish there where he continues to use, and you heard the announcers talking about it. That one thing I don't like about the match, I don't like four announcers just shouting the whole time. They kind of hurt my enjoyment.
Yeah.
No?
No, I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of that.
I think they're annoying as hell.
But the match was great.
But that's what Jim Ross does really well. He knows how to take in that crowd and let the crowd be the soundtrack at times. It feels like Jericho and
he's too fucking it's loud.
Just he just keeps going on like
he I just feel yells like he just screams.
Yeah, and I don't like it. It's annoying. I felt it hurt. To me, that hurt the match a little bit because I was just like,
like, fuck, man. Nobody wants to be screaming all day.
We had Ricky Starks, Excalibur. Who's the other guy that's in the booth? I don't even know. Who's the third? There's four people in that booth.
Shivani, Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks, Jericho.
Taz.
Excalibur. Yeah, and Taz. Yeah. Why is Taz and Jericho, they serve the same purpose in some way.
No, they don't. Taz knows what he's talking about. Jericho doesn't.
I just don't like the Jericho thing at all. I'm going to be honest. That hurt my enjoyment in the match. But I love that finish where, you know, he just grabs it out of nowhere. And I like that the announcers are talking about how he can finish people with different maneuvers. I like that they're nowhere. Actually
you
talking
can't
about
predict
that.
A Danielson finish. You can't.
And I like you that.
I love that.
Because that's fun. I don't want to predict it.
And I love
you
the
predict
finish.
It's boring.
It made sense.
I remember being in the what was
this? This was the question. I don't think you can have a guy like Eddie Kingston just tap out as a baby.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It was perfect.
It reminds me of like when, you know, when we went to go to the bar to watch pay-per-views and we watched the Elimination Chamber match with Punk and Rock, and you're like, okay, he's gonna hit the rock bottom. And I'm like, yep, and he hit the rock bottom. 1, 2, 3. That was it. I mean, it's boring. I don't want to know what's going to happen. All right, so let's move on to CM Punk and Kingston promo. I like how we didn't see him at first, and then he finally comes in. He's like, "Hey, you want to get? Do you want me to put you to sleep again?"
It felt real.
It did. It felt real. I like the way they framed it. They didn't have somebody standing at a monitor.
Pretty. It doesn't look overly produced. It doesn't look like a soap opera or something.
Like WWE when they have them standing in front of a TV where there's no way
area,
you can ever watch
the backstage area looks too nice.
No, like, but the way they're standing in front of a TV, no one stands that way. Who would stand that way? Oh God, I hate WWE. But anyways,
he's standing like on a Raw. Yeah. Last
wasn't he making? But was he making fun of it? I didn't really watch Raw, so I don't even know. Like, was he making fun of it, or was that actually how they intended
World
him
champion
to stand?
Should have been sarcastic.
Yeah, but that's kind of his shtick.
Whatever.
You know, I mean, let's be honest. He's not really the world champion. It's Roman. But anyways. I liked the way they did that because it felt like a pull apart. It felt real. And I Kingston was like, you know, he was going back into his heel mode. You know, there.
Yeah. He has to be.
Which I like. And I think this is going to bring, like we said, this is going to bring out good promos. All right. So let's go to Britt Baker versus Abaddon, the Halloween match. Take it away.
I was surprised by how good the match is. Now, I'm not saying it was like the greatest match of all time or nothing, but I think it's the greatest Halloween match of all time. I know that's not high praise, but it's a novel concept. Just have a match, right?
Yeah.
With Halloween kind of character to begin with, and just have a normal fucking match and try to have a good match. What a novel concept.
Did you hear Jericho
jobbers in the back acting like zombies? Whatever. Let the jobbers do that. Don't have Britt Baker do that. And
did you hear Jericho where he says Abaddon was on the cruise? She was like that the whole time.
I just like that Britt felt like the only normal character in that segment, and that's what makes her a star. She didn't do some gimmicky crap, you know. Huh.
it reminded me a little bit of it's not the same match, but it reminds me a little bit of Triple H and Cactus at Royal Rumble, where it took everything to beat him.
Well, that's what I felt for the Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker match.
Yeah,
I didn't see that one as that because it wasn't like a really clean, like it was clean, but it wasn't clean, you know.
Yeah,
like. I don't think, like, the finish I would have preferred it better, because I don't know why you're trying to protect Abaddon to begin with. You should have just had her take the lockjaw.
But that's what made Abaddon, that's what makes that match memorable, is the fact she didn't lose to the lockjaw.
But I like when the thumbtacks leads to a finish. Like, I don't the thumbtacks was just a spot in the match, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it wasn't really the.
It felt like a spot, and it should have. It been does, a
yeah, yeah. But that's the problem. I think that's one of the problems Foley kind of started, was like, it's a thumbtacks isn't really a finish anymore. It's just a spot. Actually, no, Abyss did that. Abyss is the one that kind of popularized the
TNA. TNA, come on. TNA didn't do shit.
But that's where it came from.
Nobody.
I mean,
you think people watch Abyss? Come on, bro.
At the time, you know, they were doing.
At the time, what? No.
They were doing decent. And every Abyss match had a thumbtack. He killed the thumbtacks because he had to bring out glass. Because he couldn't use thumbtacks every time. I'm sorry, but
he didn't do flaming thumbtacks.
Yeah, I bet he probably wanted to do that. And they were like, Abyss, if you do that, you're not a monster anymore. You're just a job guy. But yeah, I thought they did a good job of protecting Abaddon. It gives something for them to come back to if they want to. Maybe Christmas.
I will just say, though, Christmas, I wish it was on Dynamite. Better crowd. More people would have watched. Same for the Danielson match. I think it's a disservice when you have all these great Danielson matches on shows you're not really watching. You know?
I know. Yeah. I mean, that seems to be the problem with Rampage. Do we know what the ratings are for Rampage yet? I don't think we do.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they've come out yet. Let me see. Anything? No. I don't see anything. But I liked this Rampage. I thought this Rampage was pretty good.
I mean, most of them are. It's a 1-hour show. It's really easy to watch.
Yeah. But it reminds me of what NXT used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has that, but I think they do it better because they have better workers. Yeah. Well, no, so next week.
I disagree with that. I think NXT was really good at escalating. You know, the main event was always last. Most of the main event matches on some of the shows were built for like a whole month. So like I think there was a better, but that's because it was taped like a month ahead of time. So they didn't constantly change their plans. But well,
that's
when
dead
NXT
now.
Was good. That's when NXT was good.
That's dead about. Now.
Yeah. Totally dead.
So Adam Cole versus John Silver is set for next week's AEW Rampage. Is that going to be good? Is it just an angle for Hangman? Indifferent.
Whenever I hear Wardlow.
Wardlow.
It's like the Dark Order, Wardlow.
The Dark Order. Yeah, that's one thing. If Wyatt comes in, I would like him to just kill that faction. Like, be like, you guys are all jokes. Just have them just like just beat all of them like down. And then he's just like, he gets on the mic and is like, the Dark Order is no more.
I think Bray is one of the only people that could actually give it credibility.
I don't want to see him involved with that stupid group.
I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying, but I just like.
Because of the connection with Brody Lee, I think the Dark Order has a value to it. And
here's
the
thing.
It needs somebody serious to lead.
If he does take over the Dark Order, then they need to change their perception and kick out Colt Cabana and John Silver. I don't want
this is what I'm saying. They were more serious when Brody Lee was.
They still had a lot of comedy. They were still comedy on being the elite. I don't want any comedy. If he takes over the Dark Order, they're no longer comedic characters.
They have to be dark.
Yeah, they have to be dark. And I don't know if they want to do that. Like, John Silver does not strike me as somebody who can be dark. He comes off like a goofball every time he opens his mouth or even stands there. He's just like,
"But
how we're doing."
If you have
and Wyatt, Colt Cabana.
Maybe Wyatt can do something there. Man, Colt Cabana used to be a star. What the fuck happened to that man?
This is not it. He was a star because, you know, he was different. Him being, you know, a silent character is not him.
For one, if you look at everybody in the Dark Order, you'd figure Colt Cabana would be the leader because he's the only one I acknowledge as an actual wrestler. Or was. I'm thinking of you know, Punk.
I see what Cabana. You're saying.
You know, like, man, I associate him with a certain time period of ROH. So,
I mean, at this point, I feel like they should just let Anna Jay run the stupid Dark Order. Just emasculate them anymore. When she came out and said, "You guys need to work it out," I was just like, "And you've killed them. They are dorks. I can't take them seriously." When you have a girl telling them that, I'm sorry, she's not this strong woman character.
Yeah, she's not Charlotte.
That they built up. She's Rhonda. Not Charlotte. She's not Rhonda. She's Sasha. Not Tessa Blanchard. You know, she's just this curl in the background who's with Brody Lee. You know, Brody Lee, like, that was the best she was used because they kind of complimented each other. But I don't know. The Dark Order is too much of nerds to me. And I don't want Bray Wyatt associated with nerds. I really don't. I want him to, like, take them, knock them out and be like, you, we're redoing this group.
That's fine. But I think there's a value to the group. It doesn't mean that is as currently constructed. But
I don't want to see
and name.
Yeah, I don't want to see Bray in purple. Like, they need to change the color scheme.
It'd be so cool if he just comes in with his own people and, like, you know what? We're the Dark Order now. Fuck you.
Yeah, there you go. I'll accept that. You guys are jokes. There's nothing dark about you. You're the Nerd Order. what did Jim Cornette call him? The Dork Order. Yeah, I don't know. They need a serious uphaul because I don't take them seriously at all.
Yeah.
I mean, is Hangman Page going to be their leader? Is that where they're leading to? Which to me will just bury him even more. Then we already hate him.
I'm like, whatever.
All right. Anything else to say?
No.
All right.
If it don't make money, it don't make sense. Peace. Oh.
Thank you for watching the King's Road podcast. You can subscribe here.
To get the latest clips and news on the show, or like us on facebook.com/KingsRoadPodcast or email us at podcastkingsroad@gmail.com.
Also, check out our Instagram @kings_road_podcast and our Twitter @thekrppodcast. Thank you.